So this is your fearless leader, Dave. He's awesome. And I'm Jill, the center manager. I just pop into the first one of any new thing happening, so I won't pop in again. Just to say hello and welcome. And I recognize a couple of you that have been around before. I know that dude. But everybody else seems kind of new. So if you're brand spanking new, raise your hand. Holy cow. Look at all the new recruits we have, Dave. This is exciting. Yeah. That'll take a little while. They've been around a while. I know that one. And I know you. Yes. So, how many people want to have a peaceful mind? Good. Okay. You're in the right place. We always say you're in Cincinnati. You picked the right destination. Sometimes it's funny when it's DB. I have a little more to talk about, but since you guys haven't experienced it before, there's really nothing to go over or quiz them on yet. So maybe I'll come in the last one and ask what they learned. It might be funny. All right. So I just want to let you know that everything we do here is by donation. It's kind of an unusual way. Things are happening a little more like that in the industry, in the world, but we are kind of unusual that we don't suggest retail prices for any teachings or anything here. So if you're moved to donate, you have a couple donation boxes in the building. You can even consider what it might cost to go to therapy. That could be a good replacement cost. Offer service, too, is always wonderful. So is there anything else? He's going to go over all the do's and don'ts, and we don't really have many don'ts, but all the, yeah, cell phone stuff. I'm just here to say hi. So if you ever need anything and you want to email me, I'm centermanager@kadampa-center.org, and just want to welcome you. So you're going to have a good time.
On that to it?
There we go. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Everybody outside there can hear me too, probably. Welcome, everybody. The Meditation 101. Wow, this is a big class. And people will come in other nights too, which is fine. You know, we kind of review things every time a little bit. This is a first for many folks. I don't know if anybody's had even any experience of meditation or even being here at the center before. Have people been here at the center before? Just a few? Okay. All right. So I think Christopher showed everybody there was bathrooms are out there. If we need to use those. I mentioned please turn your cell phones off at least for the next hour and a half. I guess we're here till 8:30. Yeah, I'm going to go around and we're going to do some introductions here in a second. We'll talk about Buddhism in general, and we're going to be specifically looking at meditation. So a lot of people attend meditation just for that purpose, and not necessarily to find out about Buddhism, but obviously you're in a Buddhist center. There's a lot of stuff behind me that's going on. All of it has some symbolic meaning for people that come here and practice. All along the side and along the top and that side are all texts and teachings of the Buddha. And what those teachings all boil down to is the importance of your own mind and how to control and tame your mind and how the mind causes a lot of problems for us. So part of what we're going to really focus on over the next 5 weeks is maybe try to get a little bit of control over that and see if it doesn't help, you know, see if it doesn't help. So it's a practice that's been around. The meditation has been around for a long time, 2,500 years or so. And most major religions have some sort of contemplative practice to it. They may call it different things. But I think the thing is that Buddhism really kind of has a handle on the meditation piece of it. So we'll kind of see how that goes. We'll go around and do introductions, and I'll tell you, like I said, my name is David Maclis. Let's see, I was born in Ohio, and I was raised Methodist. I was interested in Eastern thought and meditation for as long as I can remember, I kind of goofed around with some stuff when I was a kid. And fortunately, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and what I can remember of the 60s and 70s, there was a lot of mindfulness and meditation kind of came out of that too. And it was about the time that most of the Tibetan Buddhists got exiled from Tibet, and that kind of spread things around a little bit. A lot of folks went to India and learned about meditation. So that got me intrigued, and I've been practicing pretty regularly. Probably the last 10 years or so, 10, 15 years, I've been practicing pretty regularly. So we got connected with the Kadampa Center in 2004. My wife teaches Buddhism in a nutshell, so she comes here too. We teach meditation in prisons and have been doing that for a while. And that's been very helpful. We have a colleague over here, Karen, that has started going with us to, we're teaching up at Butner, Dillon, the youth facility now, and using it to help some of the kids work on anger and some of the other issues that often get you in prison. I live in Raleigh, and I have a wife and two children and two grandchildren now, and that's me. So, if you would tell me, we'll start at one end of the room. We're going to go around relatively quickly, I suppose, because we've got a lot of people here. Maybe who you are, what brought you here, and just briefly, what you hope to get out of this. And we can start at either end.
My name's Jenny, and this is my husband, Mike. I guess he's a pretty spiritual person, and I haven't been, and so he's gotten out of that since we've got married, and so I'm trying to help him get back into it because it's good for him.
So, all right. Very good. Do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Mike.
And we got the story. Would you agree with what you said? Okay, all right.
She's been really supportive and encouraging for me to try to find an outlet. I used to be very athletic and into yoga and meditation and considered myself very centered. And then through career change and moving and, you know, life things that happen, I've completely separated from that. And now I'm like a, you know, walking nerve wreck.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that finding the outlet that I know I miss on a daily basis is going to be really healthy for me. So I'm really happy that y'all offer this.
Oh, good, good. Karen.
Karen, and my background is in clinical psychology, and I've been.
We're recording it, and everybody can hear it.
So. My background is in clinical psychology, but I've been practicing yoga for many years and meditation for the past year or so, and it's really changed my life. It's helped me in so many ways, so I want to learn more and more about it.
My name's John. I'm a friend of Karen's. I'm a physician. I'm always stressed out, rarely present, and she told me I need this.
There you go. If she told you, it's true, right?
I'm Sunny Patel. I guess I'm here to learn a little bit more about Buddhism, and just kind of curiosity brought me here, so coming with an open mind and open heart.
Good, thank you.
My name is Felice, and I'm friends with Sunny and Skoog, and I think we're all interested in learning a little bit more and just practicing meditation, so here to learn.
I'm David Skoog, here with Sunny and Felice, interested in meditation, Buddhism in general, and like Sunny, come with open mind and heart.
I'm Joyce Toms, and I came to learn about the meditation 101. I do meditate a little bit, but I want to get a deeper understanding, deeper meditation.
Thank you. I'm Deborah English, and I'm a personal trainer, and stress management for clients is a big part of my job. So I want to learn more about this so that I can in turn help them.
Hi, my name is Amber, and this is my first class or visit to
anything like this, and I'm just curious on different ways to find some calm and different techniques for, shutting out noise.
Hello, my name is Star, and I'm here because I want to know more about meditation, and also I struggle with anxiety and depression, so I was just thinking that this might be a help for me.
I'm Sean Noble. Like Dave, I'm from Ohio, so that brings everybody to Buddhism, I guess.
Sooner or later.
Background all is, I've got my doctorate in cognitive psychology. I've had that for about 15 years, so it seems like this is a nice tie-in. So I want to see commonalities and see how I can leverage Buddhism.
My name's Allison Koss. This is my first time here. My therapist actually recommended meditation to me. She thought that it would help me out quite a bit. She's given me quite a few Buddhist-based readings over the course of our sessions together, and she thought this would be a great idea for me, so I looked into it, and here I am.
My name is Gavin Densmore. I'm not a doctor, but I stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. I'm a aspiring fiddle player and own a couple of businesses, have some stress in my life, want to learn meditation to help control the stress.
My name is Karen. This is Rake. This is our second time here, and we're just very interested in meditation, and we want to have a mindfulness lifestyle, and we just want to learn how.
My name is Linda. This is my first time here, and I started meditating years ago when I was having a rough time, and it helped me get through it, and then I stopped. And I started again this summer, and I got such a benefit just from doing like 15 minutes a day. It really was amazing. But now I really want to kind of connect it to the spirituality so I can kind of let other people do their own thing without feeling like I need to get in there and fix things. And so that's what I'm hoping to gain. Thank you.
My name is Adam. I've been studying just basic self-taught meditation since I was about 16. And honestly, just dipping your toes into the water of this really gives you a deeper understanding that you have the ability to change your life with what's inside of you. And I feel like these classes could really just empower me and empower a lot of people. So I'm excited.
Hey, I'm Jess. I'm friends with Adam, and I'm also, I haven't done a lot of meditation in my life, so this is a new venture for me, and like you, Star, I also have anxiety that I struggle with, and so I'm hoping that this will help me with that, help me be more mindful.
Hi, my name is Donovan. I've been interested in Meditation 101 for a while. I came here to visit once, and that was a couple years ago, and I had my eye on Meditation 101. I'm starting a new job in about a week as a medical team assistant, and I've got a lot of worries about it, so I figure why not do it now? that's about it.
Hi, I'm Amit. I'm familiar with Buddhism, but I've never taken any formal classes or been to any temples or anything of that sort, but my wife is here and our friend is here, and we're actually looking for it from somewhat of a spiritual point of view as well, so I'm interested in finding out more.
Good.
Hi, my name is Max, and some of the most profound and wonderful people I've known have either meditated or known about it. So I want to know more.
There you go.
Hi, my name is Pam. I've been to the center a couple of times. I'm here mainly because I have a 10-and-a-half-month-old, and this is my mommy away time.
There you go.
And I have a lot of stress in my life, so I was hoping this would help me. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Nicole. This is my first time here. I have a 2-year-old, so I'm looking to kind of settle my mind, and I'm trying to meditate daily, and I'm interested in learning more about Buddhism as well.
Good.
Thankful to be here.
My name is Chris. I've been coming to the center on and off for a couple years, and I'm here just to just work on getting better at meditating. And that's it.
Hi, my name is Autumn, and I have been coming to the center for 4 years, but it's been a while, and I practice yoga and meditation regularly, but I'm looking forward to juicing up my practice.
Hi, my name is Patrice, and I, like so many people, have lots of anxiety and stress in my life, even though I look like I'm 12. And my good friend Karen invited me to the end of the last Meditation 101, so I'm happy to start from the beginning.
I'm Sanjay. Just meandered along here. Didn't know there was such a beautiful place. I was raised by one of the gentlemen who ran away, who were exiled and ran away with the Dalai Lama. But I've never understood what all that meant. So Tibetan Buddhism keeps getting kind of thrown at me, or I keep getting in touch with it, and then I move away. So here I'm again.
Good. All right.
My name is Hope, and I guess you could say I'm on meditation exploration right now, trying to find which one actually speaks to me that I think I can sustain. So that's really the reason I'm here. No preset expectations, just see what happens.
Good.
Hi, my name is Megan, and this is my first time here, and I chose this as a cultural diversity project that I'm working on in school, and because my dad used to go meditate every morning, and because I've tried to meditate before, like to CDs, and I never really could stick with it, so I thought I would try this. Thank you.
My name is Sam. I run a trade association in the area that has now gotten the better of me, and I'm pretty much a nervous wreck all the time, so I'm trying to address that. I've been doing some meditation at home based on some books my therapist gave me, and I seem to have hit the wall with those, so I'm hoping to go deeper with this class and then move into the spirituality issues.
My name is Matt. I'm here because this is one of the best rooms in a great distance for meditation. Every teacher I've experienced here has been and provided an auspicious opportunity to learn. I'm a repeat offender. This is my second time through this class because since about the age of 18 I've been learning and forgetting and climbing mountains and hitting valleys and really just need to figure out a way to turn this into a daily practice.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm an atheist, but I consider myself a spiritual atheist. So I'm here to add to my practice. I've done meditation in connection with yoga, but not as a separate practice, so I wanted to see what that would look like.
My name is Megan. I am a massage therapist that is full of anxiety, so I'm great at making other people feel better and no ability to help myself, so hoping I can do that.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Renee. I've been meditating already for many years, a different format than this, and which I like what I'm already doing, but I think I need something that has more of a psychological angle at this point in my life.
Okay.
Hi, my name's Farah. I teach 7th grade social studies, so it can be a little stressful, but Max told me about the class, so I decided to check it out, and I feel like that can tie into my teaching too.
I'm Mac. This is my first time here too. I don't know much about it. It just seems like an interesting, enriching activity. So I deal with stress probably less than others, more than some, but it just seems like it would be a good activity. So I'm very excited.
Hi, I'm Dan. I had some exposure to Buddhism through a book that a friend gave me that I thought I needed it. It was called The Monk and the Philosopher, which I would recommend highly to anybody that's new to Buddhism. But also been doing yoga for a couple of years and just looking for ways to help control anxiety and anger issues and wanting to learn more about meditation as an avenue to do that.
Hi, my name is Mary Claire. I read The Monk and the Philosopher a long time ago and was intrigued by Buddhism. And I'm trying to find more meaning in my life at the moment. And I try meditation, but I'm very bad at it. I hope that this class will help me get better at meditating and maybe through the spirituality and meaning, and Buddhism, maybe find more meaning in my life.
My name is Alex. Thank you for having a class. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I'm Adam Imoletti, interested in meditation. I know it's a powerful tool, and I have absolutely no idea how it works, so I'm looking to learn. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Kat. I'm very new to this. I haven't had any exposure to meditation or Buddhism, but I'm very interested in both and just hoping that it will help me feel more centered.
Okay. My name is Boris. I'm a software engineer, and most of my days surrounded by logic and numbers. So I want to exercise my mind in a different way.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Kevin. I'm here to just try some new things.
Hi, I'm Phyllis. Sort of been on a spiritual quest for several years now. This fall was diagnosed bipolar, depression, anxiety. Have had a lot of experience with mindfulness and meditation over the last couple years through therapy. Have also been practicing yoga more and more, and wanted to take all of that into the more spiritual side. And so I'm here to see what the Kadampa Center has.
Hi, I'm Candace. I'm mostly here out of curiosity, and I also deal with a lot of anxiety and depression, and I'm hoping this will help quiet my mind.
Wow. There's a whole lot of stuff there, huh? So we'll do all of the above, right? I think a lot of people get interested in this for a relaxation point of view, anxiety point of view, maybe just a self-discovery point of view. All of those things are valid. There'll be a lot of things that can come out of this. It is a practice. I consider myself a beginner. It's like, if you look at it like a physical exercise, we start out small, and it's frustrating when you start out and you think, oh, I'm not doing this right, but you just kind of keep working at it and working at it and working at it. And like muscles, you start out light, and it's going to take a while before you begin to notice some sort of changes. That'll be real gradual too. And as you get better and better, you just keep adding more and more onto it, and you go deeper and deeper. We'll start out with some pretty short meditations, and quite frankly, they'll be real boring. Nothing exciting will happen. And one of the kids, Dylan the first time, we sat, I think we did probably 2 minutes, and I rang the little bell, and he said, well, when's it going to happen? And I said, well, when's what going to happen? He goes, well, I don't know. Something's supposed to happen. And one person thought they were going to levitate. And I said, well, it's not going to happen. I said, this is as good as it gets. It's kind of boring. And so he never came back. I don't know if it ever happened for him or not. But, you can't expect a whole lot when you begin. But it is something that if you keep working on it a little bit at a time, you know, the thing I think is important is not the length of time that you spend, but that you spend time every day doing it, even if it's just for a couple minutes. And at some point in your life, if you can make it a habit and really continue with it, you'll reach a point where you look forward to sitting on your cushion. And I'm going to make the assumption that for some people that do this a lot, extensively, we don't ever see them, right? They're out in some cave somewhere. But prior to that, you know, life is what happens between the time you sit on your cushion. You know, right now we're in a phase where, oh, I got to spend time sitting down or doing my meditation. But, you know, maybe sometime that'll change for you in life and you start to look forward to spending more time sitting or doing the meditation. So, there are some books out there that we would recommend. Kathleen McDonald's book on how to meditate is pretty good. This one just came in today. This is what I guess they did look like. This is what mine looks like. This is kind of old. It's got some miles on it. But it's a very good book. She's got a lot of good material in there. It's very helpful. There's a book, Meditation for Dummies, is actually very good. And it's been written by a couple of people that Robbie Watkins, our center manager, knows. The executive director knows pretty well. And so it's a good book. There's some other ones. Attention Revolution is one that I like by Alan Wallace. Some people will, the focus might be more on, we'll talk about different types of meditation, but they may vary. There's a lot of scientific evidence now to support. You know, now that we have magnetic resonance, MRI machines, and some other things, they're finding that there's a whole lot that can come out of this that we weren't able to prove scientifically, you know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago. So there's a lot of research now that supports it, which is really good. It's really encouraging that that is going along with what the Buddhists will claim, that, you know, we've known that for 2,500 years. So, that's an encouraging kind of thing. So, and again, I'll give you, there are handouts for this class. And anybody log in or find out that or see any of the handouts? So they're on at www.kadampa-center.org, and there's a meditation 101, and you can get the handouts there that I'll refer to a little bit later on. My name is David Maclis. My email, if anybody wants it, is dmaclis, dmachles. @gmail.com. I'll give you that again later. If you have questions, you know, feel free to send me an email or something. Not that I can answer them, but I'll certainly try. And we can communicate if you have to. So, all right, what I want to do is maybe just start out with a real basic meditation. Again, don't expect to levitate at the end of this. It's not going to happen. And we'll talk a little bit about posture and position, and I'll spend more time talking about that a little bit later on. It's not critical, at least not in the beginning, but at some point you'll find yourself wanting to get in a posture that you can sit for a length of time as you start doing longer ones. Also, you know, people do these classes, right? They got to have these little bells, you know, ding. That means it's time to kind of bring your mind back. And I was thinking about that. Everybody says, you know, they think these meditation's got bad PR, you know. It has a bad rap, I think. And, because we picture, you know, someone sitting on a beach or whatever, and, you know, has little bells and incense and things. But how else would you bring somebody back gently? You know, you wouldn't want to pop a paper bag or something, or you clap your hands, so you find something real quiet. So it makes sense. So anyway, when I ring the bell, that's kind of, you know, come back around, whatever back around looks like. So we'll talk about 7-point seating position that they'll discuss, and Buddha behind us is using that position. If you're on a chair, that's perfectly fine. If you can sit on the floor, that's good too. Some people struggle with that. The more you sit on the floor, the easier it gets, I suppose. So for those people in a chair, you want to have your feet flat on the floor, okay? And your hands probably just on your legs resting somewhere. Try not to lean against the back of the chair. You want to picture your spine stacked up almost like a stack of coins, okay? There are a couple of seats up here if you want to sit on the floor. If you're on a cushion on the floor, it's a good idea to sit kind of towards the front of it a little bit, and it allows your knees to drop and your pelvis to open up, and it's a little easier to sit for a length of time and to keep your back straight too. So again, on the floor, back straight, just like if you're on a chair. And then cross your legs, whatever's most comfortable. If you can get in a half lotus or whatever, that's fine. Hands again, relax, whatever you want to do. So the traditional posture is, right hand in the left hand and the thumbs touching, but that, it doesn't matter. Just get comfortable. And then the top of your head, imagine like a string pulling the top of your head and your chin dropping down just a little bit and kind of tilting forward. Shoulders relaxed. And then it's usually good. The eyes bit, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Some meditations, you want your eyes wide open. Some you want them closed. Do whatever's comfortable for you. Most of us, we're better with either closed or slightly open, with allowing just a little bit of light coming through. And then the tongue is at the roof of your mouth behind your front teeth, and that's so you don't drool, oddly enough. Sounds real official, but that's what it boils down to. And the thing is, you can't do this wrong, right? Everybody, what we're going to start doing is exploring what's going on in our own heads. And that's a personal thing. You can't do it wrong. You cannot do it wrong. So try to set some sort of motivation for doing it. You know, think if nothing else, this is like 2 days before Thanksgiving. Certainly you all have something else you could have done this evening, I'm assuming. But you chose to come here. And that's so that, choosing to come here is a valuable thing. You've made that effort. So that's good motivation in and of itself. And then what we're going to do, I've got actually a couple of meditations I'll do. We'll probably start out with the three different ones. What I want you to do at first is we're just going to, we'll start out with a body scan actually. So this is going to be like an analytical meditation. So I'll talk about different things as we're doing this, and I want you to kind of go through the process in your head and mentally think about it. And then we'll have just a breathing meditation at the end of that. So if your feet are on the floor, or you're sitting on the floor, feel the spot where you're making contact with the earth. And once you start thinking at the tip of your feet, and we're going to kind of mentally go up your body. And as I point out the positions, the different body parts, just have them relax, okay? And just mentally relax each spot as we talk about it. So if you're sitting in a chair, start with your feet on the floor. Start with your feet. And just mentally relax your feet. Move on up to the ankles. And then your lower legs. And then your thighs. And your hips. And up to your abdomen. And your chest. And then start with your hands. picture them relaxed. Your wrists and forearms. Your upper arms. And your shoulders. Then move up to your neck. Your jaw and cheeks. Feel your ears relax. And the top of your head. Now your entire body is just relaxed, yet very alert. Now think of your brain actually relaxing in your skull. And your eyes. The back of your throat. Your lungs. Then picture all the organs in your abdomen relaxed. Now with your body totally relaxed, I want you to begin counting your breaths. Allow your focus to stay firmly on your breath. When you breathe in and breathe out, count one. Count to 10 and then start over again. When your mind wanders, and it will, gently pull it back and start counting from 1 again. If your mind has wandered off, gently bring it back to the breath. Again, if your mind has wandered, bring it back to the breath. Try to follow the breath all the way in and all the way out. I didn't see anybody levitate. Pardon me?
I might have.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I saw a little movement over there. So, what was that experience like? Anybody want to share that? Please.
I found myself, especially towards the beginning, being distracted by a lot of the auditory, things mm-hmm. going on and having fun.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. Anybody else? She said she heard there's a lot of auditory stuff, and she kept going back to one. Please.
I didn't know what it's like to have a one-track mind. But just thinking about my breathing was really more a challenge than I thought.
Yeah, it's hard.
One.
Yeah. It's a challenge.
Yeah.
But that's good. That is the exercise is, I'm distracted. All right? Anybody else? Please.
Well, I have a question. It seems that one thing that always happens with me is, I start off by thinking my spine's straight, like a slouch over.
Uh-huh.
The other one, make it all smart. Hips or hands, or do you strengthen your core?
You start slouching a little bit. You might try sitting on two.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what if you're sitting on just one. Because if you can get your hips higher than your legs, and sit towards the front, it throws you forward, and you have to almost lean back a little bit.
Okay.
So you'll get to experiment with the height and see if that makes any difference. Legs fall asleep, things start itching, things start hurting, and at some point we'll talk about just notice the sensation, okay, and kind of go with it. And some of that starts going away. It starts going away once you kind of find, you just have to be patient with that. I didn't believe it when someone told me it's going to go away. I thought, it's not going to go away. But it starts to go away. So, yes, sir.
I was able to ease into this a little bit quicker, probably because I've been really focusing on meditation lately over the past couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
But the thing I don't know if this is relatable advice or if it's understandable to anybody that's new, but one of the best pieces of advice I heard is, like, a lot of times in meditation, people are really hard on themselves.
Right.
And you have to realize that, like, there's nothing wrong with anything that goes on. Like, there's
right.
nothing wrong with anything that you're doing. Like, literally nothing wrong with any of the things that you're doing. You actually need to sort of become amused by what's happening.
Right.
You have to sort of just like, oh, look at that, another thought.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't start again. And just try again.
Yeah.
The weight off of that.
Yeah, people get frustrated. They get frustrated because they keep having to lose count and coming back again. But every time you lose count and come back, that's like a rep, okay? It's not like you would think. You think, oh, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it. But the recognizing that you're distracted and bringing your mind back is the goal. And I know that sounds like a really waste in terms of a goal. You know, I came here just to sit here and keep pulling my mind back. But that is the exercise. And at some point, you'll get to be able to hold your focus longer and longer. And the idea is to recognize when you get distracted. And then we're going to start watching, well, what is it that's distracting you? You know, and start playing around with those thoughts that arise. We're being pulled all the time. I mean, all the time. I'll use Karen's example of counting. The other day she did this. So you count in your head, right? Count backwards from 10. There's a voice counting, right? There's a little guy in there, or gal in there, or whoever. There's a voice that's constantly narrating our lives. And we let that little guy take control all the time. It's always got us either thinking about what we should have done or could have done or could be doing or something in the future. It's always got us, it always has us somewhere other than where we are right now. And our lives are ruled so mindlessly by this little voice that everybody who's not in this room, I'll use that just as an example, we don't realize that, right? We just go wherever that little voice takes us all the time. That little voice will get you into a lot of trouble too. And it makes up stories. It makes up stories about everything. And so our goal is to gain control over that little voice and tame it. And in the process, tame our own mind. And the first step in doing that is recognizing, oh, there's that little voice. That's when we've realized we've lost count. You know, so who is it that's realizing that we've lost count? You know, we won't go down that rabbit hole tonight, but when you get control of that little voice and get control of your mind, you know, you begin to change all sorts of things and you don't realize it. We like that little voice telling us stories all the time. We like our stories. But those stories aren't always good for us. And those stories cause a lot of anxiety and stress and problems, and they're just stories, you know. We're just making all this stuff up. And so we're going to try to learn to how to make it up better. You know, if we're going to make it all up, we can make it up however we want to. So that's kind of a plus, you know. We get to create our own stories. But we have to get control of that at first. So, anybody else? Please.
I felt okay with the exercise except for the overwhelming desire to lie down.
Oh, okay. Did you get sleepy or just felt like you needed to lie down?
I just wanted to lie down.
Okay. We'll talk about, you know, there's two little culprits that go along with that little voice. There's all sorts of little things going on. Sleepiness or laxity or whatever, and then overexcited. So it's really a lot of this, and people that do calm abiding long-term meditation, they're trying to walk a tight wire between falling asleep and being fully alert and overexcited. So they're kind of always walking that. So those two things will battle us a lot. And I don't know if that's what was going on. Yeah, it could have been. Some people will try to do, like that body scan. I actually combined two meditations in one. That can be good if you have trouble falling asleep.
You know, you just start to visualize. And were you able to relax things as you thought about them? I mean, so we have control over that piece of it. So, you know, it's a good way, you know, if you're having trouble sleeping, you start doing a body scan and you know, you can fall asleep pretty quickly. That said, you don't want your meditation practice to be lying in bed, because you'll never get beyond just falling asleep in a few minutes. So, you know, there's values that. I'm sorry?
I was going to say, or you can do yoga and do Savasana.
Yeah, you can do other kind of things there as well, right? But, yeah. But, so we'll be battling those two things. So, somebody else had a question? Yes, sir. Or comment? A comment, I'm sorry.
Just a comment. So, I tried to maintain a very active stance so that I was visualizing animals going in my nose and coming out of my mouth.
Uh-huh.
Changing shapes to be the numbers. That way I'd stay on track. So I found out. Otherwise, I just get too bored. I bounce around.
Boredom's a problem. Yeah, we'll do some visualization things. But you really want to be able to, so there's two kind of key types of meditation. I won't get too far ahead here. Let me back. I'll get back to that for just a second. I'll get back to that in just a second. Anybody else have a comment? Yes, sir.
One question.
Yes.
Is this a 5-week course?
It is.
So at the end of those 5 weeks, where are we supposed to be?
Yeah, you'll be able to, no, you can't levitate after that in 5 minutes. Boy, I don't know. There, you know.
Right where you need to be.
Yeah, right where you need to be. That's good. Everybody is starting from a different place. We're all going to be at different places. Everybody moves at different rates. So there isn't any one specific spot that will be. We'll cover different types of meditations, and we'll start doing some longer ones. You'll notice the biggest change if you can do stuff at home, you know, do stuff in between. Some people won't do anything until next Tuesday. If you can do stuff in between, then you'll start to notice things. But again, it's a gradual process. It's a very gradual process. So, Gom, we're in a Gompa, this room is called at a Buddhist center. Gom means to familiarize, and we're familiarizing ourselves with our minds. That's kind of the goal of meditation. That's the same term that they use for meditation. And we have these patterns of thought that we all have. You know, we've all got a social history, we've all got our own lenses of personal experience and context that allows us to see the world around us, but we all got a different story, right? And you're just all actors in my story. And if you do things I like in my story, you're a friend, and if you do things I don't like in my story, you're not a friend. But you might not even know you're part of my story, right? Just like I don't know that I'm part of your story. So we all have a story going on in our head, and we're familiar with different things, different motivations, I suppose. We're driven by a lot of negativity. And we're actually hardwired to, we're kind of like, the term I've heard is we're Velcro for the negative and we're like Teflon for the positive, right? I won't get into the whole neurological thing. We got, you know, different types of brain structures and the whole flight and fight thing, and the reptilian brain operates a lot of what we do on a regular basis. And so we do have a negative tendency for the most part, you know, and we see the world that way. So we're familiar with the world out there, but through the process of becoming more familiar and turning the spotlight inward, we can begin to observe some of our own thoughts and emotions and question whether they're useful or not, and then ultimately change them. I do some work in corporations with
with mindfulness, right? And I use the term metacognition, which is our ability to be able to see our own thinking. So we're kind of metacognitively looking, becoming aware, and that's the when we count and we bring our mind back, we're aware that we have this other story going on in our head. And then we can begin to kind of analyze and change some of the story process that may play out, okay? And that takes time. That takes time. Because most of us don't spend time studying what's going on, bless you, studying what's going on inside our head. We just kind of focus on what's going on out there, okay? So once we begin to become more familiar and realize, you know, we can change some of the stories that take place. You know, the people that cut us off in traffic. Have you all been cut off in traffic before? Or somebody cut in front of you, you know, and you've got a story that you lay on that person. And you almost, I mean, I've gotten to a point where I think they've been thinking about doing that all day and waiting to cut in front of me, you know. And yet I have cut in front of people before, where I just forget, oh shoot, there's my exit, sorry, you know. Same thing, I'm sure they thought the same thing about me, but our storyline starts weaving around that. And it can ruin time, can ruin a day, can ruin a whole bunch of stuff, depending on how far we want to go with that story. We don't ever stop and think, well, maybe that person just got laid off and they're on their way home to tell their family and they're just, their mind somewhere else, or they're in a hurry to go somewhere. Some, you know, we don't ever have a good story. For the most part, we tend to make up the bad stories. So once we begin to realize, and this is a story that I've came up with, then we can begin to kind of change the storyline a little bit. And it's probably more true than it is not true. You know, I think what we're making up tends to be, and Buddhism will say that tends to be wrong. We've got false view about most things. And so ideally we can slowly develop the right view on things and change that story that takes place. So again, we're familiar with what's going on the outside. Meditation will get us acquainted and familiar with the thing that's going on in the inside. It's not meant to be a relaxation methodology. So again, the idea is that we want to be relaxed, we want to be alert, we want to be comfortable, but it's all the processes in our heads, not just a relaxation technique. Okay. Things are going to come up that, you know, we start going through the to-do list. We start reliving something that happened earlier today that might frustrate us. We may even have thoughts that arise, you know, on something that happened years ago. So stuff kind of gets uncovered that may be negative as you kind of spend more time sitting. And that's just part of the process. You just have to kind of work through that and just kind of keep sitting with it. Okay? Any questions or thoughts or so this is going to be, again, a kind of a gradual process. I had a story. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But it is a slow process that's going to take place. So don't expect anything very quickly to happen. Let's try to do another little short one. So, again, we're going to try to count our breathing, or we can begin doing, there's a bear meditation, bear breathing meditation, sorry, that instead of counting, you just try to stay focused on the breath, okay? And you might focus either on the tip of your nose, feel the air going in and out, or focus on your abdomen as it kind of rises and falls. And just try to keep your focus on that. Again, when your mind gets distracted, just gently pull it back. And you have to be gentle about it. Don't be hard on yourself. And every time you bring it back,
you'll get a little better and better. All right. So again, if you're on the cushion, your legs comfortable, back straight. If you're on a chair, feet flat on the floor, back straight. Hands in your lap or whatever's most comfortable. Top of your head up a little bit, chin down. Eyes either closed or a little bit open, and the tongue at the roof of your mouth. This time, when you take a breath in, we'll do a couple of big breaths in and out. When you breathe in, visualize like pure white light going into your nose, into your lungs, and imagine your, you know, the blood cells actually picking it up and transporting it around your body. And when you exhale, think of all the negativities coming out of your lungs like soot, black soot, and going off into the sky. We'll take about 3 or 4 breaths like that. Then let your mind settle on your breathing, and you can start counting or focusing on your nose or abdomen. Was the second time any easier than the first time? Yeah?
No, weirdly enough, it was actually much, much worse this time.
Was it worse?
Yeah.
Good. You're going the right direction. Because
there's sort of half thoughts that come to my head.
What do you mean by a half thought?
Well, the beginning of a thought, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Not a story, but, or even a, that I even know what it is that I'm thinking of. Pushing them away, but they come with great frequency. And then there are full thoughts, you know.
Right.
I think of my life, or I think of place here.
Do you push them away or you let them go? Well, you might push them away. We'll talk later on about letting them go.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Not, you know, I get that. I do. I guess those I push away.
Okay. Okay.
I'm pretty interested in the distinction, if you don't mind talking about it at some point, because I think it's right. It's incredibly difficult to only focus on just the simplicity of the breath without visualizing something else.
Right.
You know. But you can hear yourself starting to say something to yourself.
Uh-huh.
But since the meditation is so simple, you can catch it before it becomes a thought.
Right, right.
I almost think of it like the elephant breaking the china, you know. I mean, it wants to be heard so badly that it's just going to make noise anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it really bugs you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You're like, come on.
But when you're catching it before it becomes a thought and still trying to then bring yourself back to the meditation, it does feel a little bit like you're pushing it away.
Yeah, that's okay. And that's why I didn't want to discourage that concept. But you're right. I mean, they just kind of, you'll get to the point where you think it's almost, I picture, bubbles like in a you pour soda into a glass, you know, the bubbles just kind of form out of nowhere. Where do these things come from? They just kind of well up, you know, but they catch us. Oftentimes they'll catch us and they'll take us off who knows where, right? They'll take us off who knows where. Yes.
I was practicing the belly.
Uh huh.
You know, breath, and part of it was the garment that I have on. It makes it easier for me to notice, you know, when my belly pushes against the sash.
Right.
That was what I was focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
But the thoughts are so sneaky because I was sitting here thinking, oh, this garment is so much, wait, that's
my thought. That's right, yeah,
they're
yeah.
So sneaky.
That's right, yeah, and even labeling them. Yes.
Yeah, I can see
them. I'm sorry. We'll get you both.
Okay.
Whoever wants to go first, go ahead.
I'll go.
Yeah.
There's like it's almost for me like a low grade kind of like brain scramble going on in the background.
Uh huh.
As I'm counting.
Uh huh.
And then also I tried not to count. I tried to just do the breaths, and then I realized that I was off on a long tangent daydream. I was just
yeah.
Focusing
it's on. It's amazing how quickly you get pulled and realize.
Yeah, those even when I was counting, I'm finding that still kind of like there's background
noise.
Yeah. And I was found myself worrying about that.
Don't worry about it. I say don't worry about it. It's easy to say, but I think that comes from thinking that we're in control and realizing that we're not. You know, it's like I gotta get this. You know, let go of that. So. Anyway, don't try not to worry about it. The idea is to be gentle with yourself. Go ahead.
Hi. The first time, I thought I did better, actually, even though I felt, oh, gosh, I'm thirsty. How am I going to escape from this water? And then but it went away.
Oh, good.
And that's why I was like, okay, oh, good. I was like, how am I going to get through this? I need some water. And it went away, though. And then, but the second time, because you said breathe, when you're breathing out, imagine it's like stuff coming out of you, and then that kind of had me like, dirty air, it's like dragon fire. So it felt like it was almost burning.
Oh, yeah. You make the stories.
And then I would also go off on things I had to do. I'm like, no, don't think about that. No,
yeah. It's amazing how quickly that stuff just kind of drifts in. And the thirsty thing, I mean, you go on a retreat and you're sitting for 90 minutes and your leg falls asleep after 10 minutes, like, oh, I got to stand up and walk around, but I can't stand up and walk around. You know, you kind of play with something like that too as well. So, yes, ma'am.
I think the difficult piece for me is that I don't spend a lot of time sitting still and being calm and quiet. So then the thoughts that are coming to me, I feel like I'm processing things more than I usually would.
Uh-huh.
So I don't want to push them away, even though I should be focusing on something else, because it's actually me, like my creative spirit is working or something like that. Like these thoughts are things I should have more of.
Uh-huh.
If I was calm and still more.
Okay. You know what sometimes I'll do if I've got excited mind is I keep something to write next to me that I can, all right, just jot it down there and then get back to it, you know. And that helps me kind of let go of something if I think it's really, really valuable. But everybody's kind of got their own thing. What was a quote I read recently? Somebody said years ago, I said, all of humanity's problems could be solved if people could just... All of humanity's problems exist because people can't sit alone with themselves in a room. I've got that wrong, but it's pretty close. But I thought, no, that's a lot of truth to that. All of the stuff that kind of conjures up, and then we play it out, right? We play it out. Yes, sir?
I guess one of the things that you could start to do, if I'm correct in what I've read before, is just maybe start assigning... When you do want to focus on your thoughts, when it's not about quieting everything, but it's actually about focusing or meditating on a concentrated idea, maybe assign value to it. Is this bringing me, am I accomplishing something by having these thoughts, or am I worrying about not paying a bill and I'm sitting in bed? I'm not going to be paying my bill sitting in bed. So either I can jot it down on a piece of paper, pay that bill, and set it aside, or I can just let go.
Right.
I guess it's assigning value. It's like, am I conjuring thoughts about worrying? Because it's of no use to me.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here in bed. I'll just be feeling the weight, I guess.
I think Shantideva, one of the Buddhist scholars, said that, I'll get this quote wrong too, so I apologize. If I'm worrying about something, there's never a need to worry about it. If I can do something about it, do it. If I can't do something about it, don't worry about it. You know, so either way, don't worry about it. simplistic. There's a lot of simplistic concepts that make a whole lot of sense. So, other ideas or thoughts people had come up? Clothing, you mentioned that. You know, it's a good idea to kind of wear something that is comfortable, that you can sit with, you know, something loose or whatever it is. If you start a practice at home, you know, find a place. We'll talk a little bit more about that down the road. You know, have a place dedicated that you're going to actually sit and do it. You know, some of us, I'm in a fortunate situation that my spouse is also a practitioner, so we can sit next to each other without, you know, like, hey, is something wrong? You know, if you're sitting there doing nothing. Because we're so used to seeing people do something that when we turn the spotlight inward to work on the stuff in our head, outwardly it looks like we're just doing nothing, alright? So that bothers people sometimes. So, you know, if you can find a quiet place or someplace quiet, or, you know, I even have people, you know, when you drive, you drop your kids off or you come home from work, sit in your car for 5 minutes, you know, before you go to the house, or find a place at work. If you have to prop a book in front of you and stare at it for 5 minutes, pick a spot, you know, and stare at it and do your meditations that way. But find a way that's kind of quiet and you're not disturbed if possible. And again, wear something comfortable. If you can do a cushion, that's fine. If you can't, you know, the seats are fine. Whatever's most comfortable. Again, over time, you'll kind of gradually drift towards something. But let's see. The human mind, we've got huge potential that we're not tapping into. And once we begin kind of looking inwards and seeing what's going on and taming that and controlling that a little bit, it changes all sorts of things. It really does change all sorts of things. It changes your outlook. It changes how people perceive you. You begin to tame things like anger and frustration because you recognize it's just a thought that comes up, you know, and I can push it away or let go of it, you know, and I don't need to follow along with that. The milk story I was going to tell you about earlier. So this is out of the book, I think his name is Hansen, Buddha's Brain. It's a good book if you get a chance to read it. He talks about stages of growth with meditation. So he uses a thing called the second dart reaction. So you just get upset. Somebody does something. But so stage one, you're caught in a reaction and don't realize it. Your partner forgets to bring milk home and you complain angrily without seeing that your reaction is over the top. So this is as we practice more and more. Stage two, you realize you've been hijacked by greed or hatred, but you can't help yourself. Internally, you're squirming, but you can't stop grumbling bitterly about no milk. Stage three, some aspects of the reaction arise, but you don't act it out. You feel irritated, but remind yourself that your partner does a lot for you already. And getting cranky will just make things worse. Stage four, the reaction doesn't even come up. Sometimes you forget you've even had an issue. You understand there's no milk, and you calmly figure out what you and your partner are going to do about it. You know, if you have an anger problem and you work with this stuff, you'll start to see those things kind of change. You know, again, it's a real gradual process. A good friend of mine that comes to the center had an anger problem, and just a quick story. And we were going to another prison. I'd been working with him quite a bit, and his son was killed over a Christmas break, was murdered in downtown Raleigh. And we had been going to the prison, and one of the prisoners had even asked, you know, what would you do if something happened to you? You know, because he was not angry anymore. He said, I don't know. I have no idea how I'd react to it. And then, as karma would have it, over our Christmas break, his son was murdered in downtown Raleigh. And he actually had total forgiveness for this person and actually went to court to help get lightened his sentence a little bit. Andre, if any of you know Andre. And, you know, it's amazing. He said that's just all from doing this practice. Just from doing that practice. So, it's powerful. It just takes a lot of time, you know, and it's a slow process. But you can change all sorts of things internally. Other questions?
I have a quick question.
Please.
On Saturday, Sunday mornings, when you do, I saw your schedule, when you do the meditation, is that sort of like what we're doing broken up into sessions, or are you doing 45 minutes of?
I haven't ever come to one of those things, oddly enough. But my understanding is they do a 20-minute sitting, and then I think they do a walking meditation and another sitting meditation. So there will, I don't know if there's discussion or talking, but I think it's just a solid, you know, 20 minutes at a time. So those are good. Yeah, they do Sunday morning meditations here. I think they just start, or Saturday. What day is it? Sunday mornings?
First Saturday also.
Okay, they've changed it up. They're changing the Sunday schedule a little bit, so I'm not quite sure how things are.
I think it looks in the schedule like it's consistent on Sunday, and I've been, and you described it accurately.
Okay.
But then also, Jill, I think, is running.
Yeah, Jill's doing them now. Okay, she's doing some of them now too, and I think it's the same format, sitting and walking meditation. We won't do any of that this during these 5 weeks, but there are different types of meditation. And then, so we'll talk a little bit more about this in weeks to come, but there's focused meditations. What we're doing now is trying to focus on something and build the strength of our attention of putting on a specific thing, right? Our breath, in this case. Could be another object. Sometimes people use, you know, candles or a flower or a little Buddha statue or whatever it is. But the idea is to lock in your attention on that and not allow it to get pulled away. And sometimes I use that example like a microscope, right? We're trying to increase the power on a microscope. And then we'll do some analytical meditations where the idea is to actually think about something very intently, okay? And usually it'll have an emotional component to it,
So in Buddhist thought, emotions are as valid of a thought process as a rational thought, right? So we're all driven by emotions and logical thought. So there's compassion and wisdom, the two wings they call it. So we'll focus in on something and then try to drill down deep on that by using the concentration that we're working on in the meantime. So those are kind of the two broad categories that it falls into. Sometimes we'll do like the body scan might be a different type of visualization and rather than an analytical meditation. But those are the general two broad categories that it all falls into. 8:19. Other comments or questions?
Just a side question. When you do an analytical meditation, you pick a topic that you drill deep into. Is that different than just like because of the training you've had in the meditation? Is it different than just thinking about a subject? Does it have you know what I'm saying? Like, is it different than like sitting in a class and looking at the different possible things? Where
like if I'm doing math or something?
Yeah. I mean, does it have a different aspect because you're using the meditation technique? I'm sorry if I didn't.
No. I'm trying to think of how to answer that question. It's very similar. Okay, but if we take something like we'll do contentment or compassion, and when you can drill in something, when you drill in on that, and then the focus helps you, you know, it'll create an emotion, right? When we think about emotional things, we think about compassion, we want to develop compassion, which is that thought, and then the focused meditation piece will help us kind of hold that for a long period of time. So yes and no. You'll see as we toy with those, you can see if that answers your question. And somebody had a thought back there, a question.
Dave, if I go home and practice this, what's a realistic expectation? 5-10 minutes?
Yeah. I would start with like that. Start with five minutes, 10 minutes. If you can get 10 minutes a day, that's good. That's really good. If you can't get 10 minutes without crawling out of your skin, you know, make it 5. The part of the thing is you want to stop before it gets really miserable, right? Because you don't want to be discouraged from doing it. So even like people that meditate for long periods of time, they'll say divide it up into more frequent, shorter meditations so that you always leave feeling pretty good about it. The best time is all an individual thing too. I do best early in the morning and like real early in the morning, and some people do best, you know, in the evening, afternoon. It all depends on your own makeup, and you'll find something that works best. If I try to meditate, like these classes are great because if I were at home doing this, I'd be sleeping. But you know, in the morning, I'm fine. So yeah, everybody's kind of got their own time too. But 5-10 minutes, if that feels like that's too long, keep it shorter. The idea is to do something every day, okay? And even if it's just 1 minute, or you know, Karen's suggestion, try counting 10-20 breaths. If you want to limit rather than a time span, go to the number of breaths, that's fine too. They have little, you can get little, these things on an app, right? And you can set the time and it'll make a little ding for you kind of thing. So, there's those things that are available. Kitchen timer, some people can use something like that, but I find that just obnoxious, you know, blaring or whatever. But, you know, whatever works, a little beep, something, you know, if you want to set some time. And then try, you know, if you try to stick with what you set yourself for. Right? So if you're going to say, I'm going to do 5 minutes, try to get the 5 minutes, the full 5 minutes in. You know, because again, it's like exercise. If you go to the gym, you're going to have good days and bad days. And, you know, you still kind of go through the process, even though, you know, it was a bad day. And you'll have the same kind of thing with this, too. Other thoughts? Yes, sir.
what I'm hearing a lot is like, where do we expect to be? What do we want? What should happen after this? And it's really not about that. Like my girlfriend, for example, she's here, I think, kind of hoping to help with her anxiety. And meditation doesn't seem, from what you're saying, from what I'm thinking, to be about a result-driven. It's more about a journey. Just like what you were saying with the gym. You shouldn't go to the gym, I'm going to lose X amount of weight. It's more of, I'm going to be healthier, and that's what will come from it.
Yeah, I think that's said very well. It's the process. It's the process that will get you somewhere. And where you get... in Buddhism, the idea is that everybody can be enlightened. And so, you know, and this is how he started, was just counting a couple of breaths, you know. Got a long way, may take eons, right, is what they say. But, you know, it's a process. It's not, don't look for outcomes, but the outcomes will happen. Just don't expect them. Don't hold high expectations. I don't want you to have low expectations. You know, it's the process. It's going to the gym, right? It's the constant process that's key. Let's see, homework. There is, like I said, you got the handouts. Try to set a spot, set a time, see if you can find something that works out well for you. Try those two different meditations, either the counting or the bare attention one. Either way is fine. You know, I think there's four meditations. I think there's a body scan. There's a body scan, the bare attention, the counting, and I think the fourth handout is sitting position, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, the 7-point posture that, you know, don't worry too much about that, but just, you know, work yourself into that one. And then what we'll do for next week is, you know, maybe we can bring back some of the experiences that you had over the week of trying, the struggles, trials and tribulations of trying to do, you know, a few minutes of meditation on a regular basis. If any of you levitate between now and then, let me know. You know, and you know, it's not cut out for everybody. Everybody has the ability to do it. And, you know, the thing is, don't get frustrated. I think that's the key thing. The things that frustrate you now, you'll look for later on, because that's just stuff to work with. You know, that's just something else I can train and work on. There's a tanka. These are all called tankas, these posters or whatever. There's one out in the lobby on meditation. I think it's 8 stages or 9 stages of meditation. It's got a monkey and an elephant and a monk. And a rabbit. I don't remember exactly what the rabbit does. But the monkey, you know, it starts out with the monkey, the elephant chasing after the monkey and the man behind running after the elephant. And, you know, eventually through the mind training or the meditation, you know, you control that monkey and the monkey in the end is in the back until finally the guy lets go of the monkey. One of the stages, the monkey is gone completely. And it's just the elephant, which is the mind, right? And then finally the man is sitting on the mind. So eventually you reach the point where you control that mind, which is the goal. And the first step is recognizing that, we're out of control, which is what we've all done here tonight, you know? Huh, something else has taken me away, and I can regain control. Once you recognize that you can control your mind, that changes everything. Everything. So people that practice this for a length of time will say, you know, this has been a life changer because I realize I can control my mind, you know, instead of it controlling me. Any other comments or questions? Yep.
I did have one question. The thing that's been bothering me lately is I've been practicing, you know, when I'm comfortable, but what seems to be happening is so I work in the service industry, I'm a server, and I think it's really throwing off me physically.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of tension, like a severe amount of tension in my neck and shoulder. Whenever I sit down to meditate, I feel like it's sort of like a gradual feeling of levity, you know, and
uh-huh.
releases.
Yeah.
And then it seems to almost morph into something stronger. Like, as my brain quiets down, it subtly becomes more and more aware of how much pain there is.
Right.
Do you have any advice for what to do when you're noticing physical pain? It's not a thought. It's a genuine, it's a real thing. It's an actual experience of pain, as opposed to worry or anxiety.
Well, even an experience is a thought. So, you know, some would say that if you just, you can either focus on it, you can think about it, there's different things that you can do with thinking about that pain. You can try letting go of it, but it's still all manifest in your brain. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you can see one of the massage people that are in there too. That might be a plan B until you get to the point where you can control that. Sorry. That's about the best I can do. For right now, we'll see what happens in 5 weeks. Huh? All right, thank you all for coming. Have a safe trip home, and we'll see you hopefully next week.
Thank you.
You're welcome.